Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
There are a few things more disappointing in life than thinking you're getting a fresh, hot cup of coffee and hit your tongue and it's lukewarm.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
not meant to be.
No. And I like cold coffee, too, but I like it hot or cold. I'm like the Bible. I like Bible coffee. Give it to me hot or cold, but lukewarm, and I'm ready to spew it out of my mouth.
That's biblical.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna open up a coffee shop. Call it the Bible Coffee.
Bible Coffee.
The Bible Coffee Shop. Hot or cold, nothing in between.
Mm-hmm. No Laodicea here.
That's exactly right.
Steve Paisley, Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Apparently, should we announce there's some job openings at AFA coming up?
No, there's some Java.
Java openings.
Yeah, openings.
Yeah.
Bada boom.
Yeah, so things are going okay. My wife yesterday, she told me I can be an idiot sometimes, and I'd like to.
How long have you been married?
I'd like not that long, but I'd like to thank her for giving me permission and tell her I will use the privilege judiciously.
Right?
You mean only sometimes?
Sometimes.
I know. Best thing to do when your wife tells you you're an idiot is just say. Just acknowledge it, okay?
That's right. Own it.
Own your idiocy so you can move on.
I'm just sitting here imagining if Ed was here, how he would get himself in trouble in this conversation.
Yeah. Should have saved that for next Monday or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, Chris is gone. Steve is with us. Steve, what's your first story?
All right. Do you remember that yesterday we talked about this group called Evangelicals for Harris, and we played a little bit of their ad?
Yeah.
I want to remind you what that sounded like. Cut 15.
Have you been to the cross and said, Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing to change my way of life.
Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I'm not sure I have. I don't bring God into that picture.
All right. So guess who's speaking now about this? Franklin Graham to the rescue for the win. This is what he tweeted out yesterday. The liberals are using anything and everything they can to promote candidate Harris. They even developed a political ad trying to use my father, Billy Graham's, image. They're trying to mislead people. Maybe they don't know that my father appreciated the conservative values and policies of President Donald Trump in 2016. And if he were alive today, my father's views and opinions would not have changed.
That is so wrong. Of that group, Evangelicals for Harris, everything.
Yeah.
To use the altar call of Billy Graham, which most every American's heard many times, to exploit that to try to say voting for Trump is I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what exactly they're trying to say there. And then how do you get from that vote for Harris?
Well, the writing was in the screen. It wasn't audio, so we didn't include it in the clip. But the writing on the screen says, is there any clearer way to deny Christ than to say you don't need his forgiveness? And then it just said,
well, has Harris said she received Christ?
On their website, Evangelicals for Harris, they have her testimony. They have journey.
Okay, I'm gonna say this, and this is maybe would need some explanation beyond what I'm going to be able to tell you here, but I'm going to vote for a politician who's going to hold office based on their qualifications, based on their credentials, based on what they're going to do, not based on whether they're a Methodist or a Baptist or a Hindu. That I would pay attention to that because it does affect their worldview. But that's not the end-all, be-all. Listen, Jimmy Carter was a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher.
Yes.
I'm sure Jimmy Carter understood the gospel message and believed it by all accounts. Okay? I don't know him personally. But he was a terrible president by a lot of people. And that's how history remembers him. Maybe it's not all fair what happened during his administration, but I'm just saying he's not viewed as a very successful CEO of America, All right.
You know, evangelicals for Harris. I want to question them about, okay, how do you feel about Harris and where she stands on abortion?
Yeah, 9 months. She's for abortion through 9 months. Right.
So you want to support a presidential candidate that is all in on killing, murdering unborn babies. Listen, you're okay with that?
Yeah, I asked them that question. I would have more respect, Ray, for somebody who said, you know, I'm not going to vote for anybody.
Right. One.
Now, I don't agree with that necessarily from a American citizen responsibility perspective, but I'm just saying, but to say vote for Harris?
Right. Look, this is a diabolical ploy. And I think it has to be taken quite seriously. Last night, this group had a huge Zoom call with tons and tons of people.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. And they had their spokespeople, including, you know, professors from places like Wheaton College and notable, and I'm putting evangelicals, you can't see me, but I'm putting evangelicals in air quotes. Okay, because they're way to the left, way to the left. But the argument last night is that Mr. Trump is completely unqualified. It will be a disaster if he comes back into office. They hate him so much, they are willing to overlook the abortion, the radical transgendered stuff.
How about Israel? We talked about the treatment of Israel. I mean, Trump's friendly to Israel.
They are quite willing to overlook all of that and say it's got to be Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
We might have said this yesterday when we talked about this, but Megan Basham has a book out called Shepherds for Sale, and her contention is that these people are taking issues that are clearly biblical, like life, like sexuality, like marriage, and they are telling evangelical influencers, no, those are political issues, and, you know, it's contentious, so you probably shouldn't talk about those. And they're taking issues that are clearly political, like immigration and climate change, and saying those are biblical issues.
If they pass the offering plate, is George Soros the biggest tither in their church?
Because this what he's saying. It sounds like his money
sounds subversive.
His money is
coming in to these people that are trying to influence the Christian evangelicals.
Vote. Yeah, and if they can if they can suppress a Christian vote by who would otherwise vote conservative by 1 or 2%, that may affect the election.
Well, and I think you used exactly the right word. I don't think they're trying to talk evangelicals necessarily into voting for Kamala Harris and the other guy. I think what they're trying to do more is suppress evangelicals, make them discouraged so that on the fence evangelicals will just say, forget about it. I'm not going to vote. Or when it comes to the presidential race, I'm going to write in another name. Because in that case, to write in another name or to leave it blank is really a vote for Harris.
I don't think it'd carry you away there.
You're listening to Today's Issues, next story.
All right. The Kamala Harris phenomena continues.
She's a phenomena now?
She's a phenomena.
Okay.
Yes. And it's showing up in the polls a little bit. She has been had a bump in the polls, especially in swing states. It's getting a lot closer now. It's a lot of people are calling it a toss-up. Nate Silver, who's a political projector, now says it went from a likely Trump win when Biden was running to now a toss-up at best. Frank Luntz was talking about this the other day, and
he used to be on Fox News a lot. What does he do now?
Well, he's still a pollster. He's still a commentator.
Was he on Fox News or somebody else?
I haven't seen him on Fox in a while. I think he comes to CNN and some of these other places. But I don't know that he necessarily crafts his message just for them. I think his numbers. He does focus groups, and not just polls. But
yeah,
he does,
I've always liked hearing his reporting over the years. Yeah.
So anyway, I want to tell you what his contentions are now with regard to this election. Let's listen to cut 14.
People who are not interested in voting for either Trump or Biden. So the entire electoral pool has changed. And if it continues in this direction, you have to start to consider Democrats winning the Senate and Democrats winning the House. The actual people who are participating, she's got intensity now. She's got an intensity advantage. She's got a demographic advantage. And I haven't seen anything like this happen in 30 days in my lifetime. The people who are undecided have all collapsed towards Harris. The people who are weak Trump have all collapsed towards undecided. It's his broad shift.
That's interesting. I was looking at the battleground state polls. Wisconsin, Harris up 1.2. Listen how close these margins are. Harris up 1.2. This is Real Clear Politics. Pennsylvania, the virtual tie. Michigan, Harris up 2.4. Arizona, 0. Basically Trump up 1. Nevada, Trump up 3.5. North Carolina, Trump up 2.4. Georgia is basically a virtual tie right now, Georgia. So, to Frank Luntz, the statement there, part of what he's saying is the polls are tightening, if you believe the polls. All I would say is about the polls. If you're going to say to the polls, I believe them one day because your guy's up, and the next day they're phony because your guy's not, let's not even talk about the polls anymore. But if you want, I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics average. This is an average of all the polls, which I believe, okay? And it showed just basically, Ray, a virtual tie. Let me tell you, and if you are a person that gets upset because somebody criticizes Donald Trump, it's time to turn off the radio. Okay, I'm just going to give you
not you, ma'am. No, don't touch your dial. You're fine.
I'm just going to give you a fair warning because, and I've mentioned many times before, I love Trump's policies when he was in office for the most part. I think he did an excellent job, and I voted for him 2 times. But I'm going to try to give an objective analysis of the people out there in the country who don't follow politics very much, but they do start focusing maybe a month or 2 or 3 months out from a presidential election when they're trying to decide. They're not really conservative. They're not really liberal. They could vote for Obama, and then they could vote for Trump back in the past, or vote for Romney, and then there are people out there like that, especially that's what they call them in these swing states. But there is Trump fatigue. It's a real thing. And there are a lot of people who are put off by his personality because he is boorish and he doesn't know when to shut up. And he talks about how big people are and how fat they are and how dumb they are. And he does this over and over again, and it turns people off, these people in the middle. Now, if you care about policies, you're going to ignore those, quote, mean tweets, and you're going to vote for your guy. I understand that. But I'm just telling you, the reason the polls are closing, are getting closer, and this doesn't mean he's going to lose.
Right.
He may very well destroy her in the debate, and he wins going away. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm saying the polls have closed. People thought, well, Harris would be worse than Biden. No, she's not. She's a living, breathing person who can talk. People were worried about Biden. They weren't going to vote for Biden, but they didn't want to vote for Trump. Those people are now saying, I think I'll go Harris.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that is a real factor. And if we live in our little conservative bubble here and don't pay attention to these real factors, we're going to miss it.
And let me bring you the bad news first. The Democrat convention is next week, and she's going to get a bump from that too. So it always happens. They have a political convention. The candidate for the party whose convention they just had always gets a bump of the polls. Trump got it a couple weeks ago when the Republicans had their convention. The biggest factor right now that I'm hearing that people are saying about whether or not she can maintain her lead in the polls is whether or not...
If she has a lead. It's tied, basically.
What can make the difference in this race, they say, is if Kamala is able to stay in the basement from now until November, then she has a good chance of coming out smelling fine and winning. If she has to do an interview, which she hasn't done one now in 25 days, a good sit-down interview, other than taking softball questions from rope lines for 30 seconds, she hasn't given an interview days. And if she can, and the press is starting to get a little frustrated about it. If they can shame her into having a conversation where it's more than just a 10-second answer, I think you're going to find a lot of people sour on her pretty quickly.
Right.
Well, the other wild card here, Steve, is at the convention next week, it's all scripted, right? It's all pre-planned. So I think the only wild card that could happen, because it's in Chicago, and we've talked about this, the pro-Palestine, the left-wing, super pro-Palestinian, the pro-Hamas group, they've already tried to disrupt a couple of Kamala Harris events. If they come out in a big way and somehow manage to disrupt the Democrat convention, that could, I think, change the calculus somewhat.
I still think when looking at, you know, polls are still saying the economy and the border are the big issues on people's mind, in particular the economy.
Yeah.
There are, you know, the mainstream media is going to help the Harris-Waltz campaign. For instance, there's an AP story came out just before I came in the studio. Here's the headline. U.S. shoppers sharply boosted spending at retailers in July despite higher prices. And what they're trying to portray in this story is that everything's really all right. Americans aren't that concerned about the economy. But what this story and other economic stories are not talking about, for example, American consumers are now more than $1 trillion in credit card debt. See, these stories about consumer spending don't talk about cash and credit card. They don't separate those things out. I've heard stories this week. Fox has been running some stories on how is the economy affecting you. There are stories from 79 and 80-year-olds who saying they're having to go back to work and work a couple of jobs just to pay for their drugs and their groceries. There's another family that wrote in and said, we had to eat corn on the cob for 5 days until we got our Social Security check. This is the reality that's out there. And, you know, the mainstream media and Harris and Waltz can try to spin this all they want. But at the end of the day, Trump is going to win on the economic and border security issues. He's going to win on those. The mainstream media is going to try to steer away from this. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to have the first joint Biden-Harris. I hesitate to call it a news conference, but they're going to be together tomorrow. And Joe Biden said yesterday on a rope line question, our economy's great, and we're going to tell people there's going to be a soft landing to the economic woes. Well, people aren't seeing any indication of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, Ray, did you want to say anything to Fred's
sermon? Yeah, let me just make a quick thought. About 5 weeks ago, Trump was up clearly 5, maybe 6 points and cruising. Okay, everything's changed. If I had to guess the state of the race, not where it's going to end up, but if I had to guess the state of the race today on August the 15th, I still think Mr. Trump is leading, but it's now 1 or 2 points. It is much closer, and I think it's going to get closer yet, Steve, for the reasons you mentioned right after the Democrat convention. It's going to be in September a dead heat.
Mm-hmm. Very likely.
Yep. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
All right, let's talk about our media. You remember Elon Musk and Donald Trump had a conversation on Monday night, and they talked about a whole variety of things, about an hour and a half long. And CNN has pulled, they pulled a clip from this. And to say that they selectively edited it to make Donald Trump and Elon Musk look bad is to understate this. So what you're going to hear right now is you're going to hear the clip that they pulled.
CNN
pulled. And the first things, the clip comes in the middle of a sentence. What they're asserting, what Trump and Elon Musk are saying is that they're talking about the bombing at the end of World War II of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Right, so let's hear cut 11.
And Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So
right,
it's really
right.
Not
that's
something
right.
That, you know.
That's right.
So it's not as scary as people think, basically.
This
suggesting
is data bash.
That the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, now it's okay. Kind of trying to blow off the impact of that.
So that was Dana Bash saying what he's saying is that it wasn't so bad that they bombed Japan and nuclear weapons. They're just callous people. Well, I want to let you know, this is the context from that discussion. This is other things they said surrounding that comment about Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Let's listen to cut 12.
People have this fear of nuclear electricity generation, but it's actually one of the safest forms of electricity generation. After Fukushima happened in Japan, I actually flew there and ate locally grown vegetables on TV to prove it. Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So
right.
It's not as scary as people think, basically.
You know what? Go ahead. You want
clearly, they were talking about nuclear power, not nuclear bombs, something that Dana Bash knew very well.
CNN.
All
right. So, thing about it I didn't quite understand about that interview, when I saw the video of that, it was on X, which is formerly Twitter. Elon Musk owns it. And so he's doing a space or what? I don't know. What do they call it when they do an interview?
Twitter Spaces. Yeah.
Twitter Spaces interview. And, of course, probably millions tuned in. I don't know what the numbers were, but I'm sure it was pretty phenomenal. And Elon Musk himself has just an enormous following on X around the world. But if you're going to do an interview like that, to me, is – either Elon Musk flies to where Trump is or Trump flies to where Elon Musk is. When I saw it, it was Trump talking to his cell phone on his desk. Did you see that?
I did.
That might be the way that Spaces is designed to work people like a Zoom. It's Twitter's Zoom call, basically.
Well, what I'm saying is, and I didn't listen to it, but it makes the technology. It makes somebody, people said, well, Trump sounded funny here.
Right.
Even Trump admitted to that. He sounded weird on the, and I'm thinking, you didn't have to have that. You could have gone where he was, or he could have gone where you were and do radio like we're doing right now.
Go to Best Buy and get some,
good
spend
night.
A couple $100 and get some good equipment, right?
Heard by millions of people, and you're going to go with your cell phone on your desk on the speakerphone?
We need to rework that idea here a little bit.
I think that was marketing Spaces as much as it was about Donald Trump being.
I know. Well, Elon Musk was marketing his business, and I understand that. But you got to have – people said it was of bad quality sound. And also, when you aren't able to see each other,
right,
it's very easy to talk over. Mm-hmm. Each other. Go ahead. And of course, Elon Musk can talk, and Lord knows Donald Trump can talk. So
their whole exchange was fascinating.
Yeah.
And supposedly seen or commented on by a billion impressions.
Seriously?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, some fantastic number that X put out. So I don't know how to judge that. But look, I think Elon Musk would be happy to host Kamala. Oh, I wish she would go on there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wish she would. And let the governor, Walz, go on there, and let J.D. Vance go on there.
I'm sure he would have them all on. I'm talking about Elon Musk. By the way, while we're on pause, we've got 1 minute to go here. Do you guys see a point in RFK Jr. continuing on? He's only polling 5-6 points. He got no chance to win anywhere. So you guys see him continuing on here?
Well, Steve, that you mentioned you read a report that he's looking for a cabinet deal.
He's been in contact with the Harris-Waltz campaign, according to reports, looking for a cabinet position.
How do you do that?
You say, hey,
call him up.
Hey, can I be your Secretary of Agriculture or whatever?
Yeah, but nearly, that really happened.
So you say, if I quit, will you?
Yeah.
He would quit if he was, if they said that. I don't know. There's other reasons why you maintain a third-party campaign, which is to bring up issues that are important to you that want to remain in the conversation.
Okay. Well, don't have time to talk about that more, but it deserves more time. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. Fred, thank you.
You bet.
Steve.
My pleasure.
Ray, appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Adam Suddeth, our producer. Chris Woodward was here earlier. Jan Markell. Tomorrow's Trivia Friday. We'll have a lot of fun. We'll see you back here then.